Blog Talk Radio.
There was nobody before him, and there was nobody after him. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Let everybody know that. Know that.
Exodus 31:12-17. This is how you get down with the Israelite team. Praising Yahweh, your Elohim, on his holy convocation day. Thou shalt not do any work.
Nah.
And if you're picking up sticks, then you will get hit. This is what you do after you roam in your home. Don't go out doing that work, you get stoned. And we telling our brothers and sisters, telling, please listen to what the Most High say, that we must praise Him each and every day. But there's one day that's sanctified.
One
praise, yeah. He gave it to us for a sign. And I'm telling you, I never leave it behind. Always keep it on my mind. And this is how we get refined. Each and every time the light shines.
Exodus 31.
Verily, my Sabbath he shall keep. And anybody coming into my house, better watch what they speak.
Watch.
I don't want nobody speaking out of turn.
Nope.
You came here to listen and learn. Watch what come at your mouth. Don't let your soul get burned. Please just turn to the Most High. This is how He sanctified. He wants us to tell the children of Israel who were trapped in these gates of hell. Please just learn how to drink well. Stop hitting on your knees. Every Sunday worship is double A.L.
Off to the children of Israel.
That they must turn from these wicked ways that they do every Sabbath day. Matter of fact, the ones that turn that darkness into light. That sink a sundown from sundown is when the Sabbath day go down. But they strictly confused in the land of confusion. It is Yahweh is giving us your own delusion. And let our fears become before our faces. And that's why we worshiping in the wrong places. Synagogues of death and cemetery season. These things that get us quickly buried. Please Yahweh, come close and near. Please Yahweh, let them hear.
Read it, read it.
Surely my Sabbath,
surely my Sabbath,
and this is how we know we sanctify. Where do you think you go when you die? Oh, my brothers, why are you looking through the heavens when you cry? Do you think you are floating by the sky? Or going to the earth under the waters? Please tell me, my sons and daughters. It is Yahweh's Sabbath day. Thou shalt not do any work, no. Matter of fact, let me read the commandment. Remember the seventh day to keep it holy. They shall labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day holy unto Yahweh. Thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, man serving, maid serving, nor thy ox, nor thy ass. Don't let this holy day pass. For in 6 days Yah made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. It rested on the Sabbath day. Therefore Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So remember the Sabbath day. It is a sign between me and thee. Thus saith Yah. Please, my people, hear what He got to say. Praise Yah for the Sabbath day.
None of them exist. Which means the book is a form. But here Yahweh has signs. And he said, and these people that believe in him, though he would see that sign. What sign?
Read it.
Can I get an amen? Can I get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
And we let everybody know that.
Shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein, is by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah, for Yah is righteous, Yah is holy, and let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the creator has allowed us to bring to you another program of nothing but the truth. For his mercy continually endureth forever. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing you another program of nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All I'm going to do is tell you the truth. For Yah ordained me to tell you the truth, so this is what I will do. But who is this Yah that has even allowed us to even speak his words out of our mouth? Well, this Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, who you might know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our King. He's our lawgiver. He's our Savior. And yes, not just of Israel, but of the world. So today, we will bring once again to you the word of Yah. Yesterday, we started on our series of Yah's seven witnesses. And we talked about the first witness of Yah, who was a man named Noah, who the scriptures say found grace in the eyes of Yah. He was just. He was perfect. He walked with Elohim. And he was righteous. No wonder Yah would use him as an instrument to witness before him. For this is what Yah do with the righteous. And he's Yah's first witness. And what did this righteous servant of Yah witness to us? Well, he witnessed to the fact that during his time, the very first date that the scriptures that was recorded in the scriptures came through him. This date was the second month, the 17th day of the month. As a matter of fact, the first five dates given in the scriptures was given to this man. Because the Almighty wanted you to know what he would do through him. And we found out through the man Noah something that we had not known until we read it through him. And what was that? Well, how many days are in a month? And according to the writings that was left on record through Yah's servant Noah, 30 days are in a month. You read this in the book of Genesis 7 chapter, as well as Genesis the 8th chapter. And let us read that real quick just so we can, because this might be someone's first time ever seeing this. So we don't want to assume that you've seen everything yesterday. In the book of Genesis, the 7th chapter, it let us know in the 11th verse.
In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open.
And the windows of heaven were open. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. So when the Almighty wanted to use a man to renew, to rebirth, to reorder, to restore life on earth, this is who he would use. And the Almighty did this in the 600th year of Noah's life. And the Almighty have all kind of recorded records in the scriptures by dates and by times. And in this time, and in this date, it was the second month, the 17th day of the month. And when we begin to start talking about the years, we're going to show you how we know what year this is in. But then the Creator lets us know something in Genesis, the 8th chapter, so that we can understand time. And this is why we say Noah was Yah's first witness. Because in the 8th chapter, this is what has let us know, starting at the very first verse.
And Elohim remembered Noah.
He remembered Noah because Noah was in this ark, according to the scriptures, 150 days, where he was there longer than that, but that's how long the waters prevailed on the earth. So while he was in this ark, the waters had rulership. And it took the ark wherever it so willed. 150 days. But watch what happened when Elohim remembered Noah.
And every living thing. And all the cattle that was with him in the ark, and Elohim made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The fountains also of the deep, and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained.
In other words, the rain from heaven was restrained. In other words, now the rain has stopped, the waters begin to decrease, and now the ark began to rest. And watch what happens.
And the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of 150 days, the waters abated.
And look when the waters were abated. The fourth verse.
And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat.
Upon the mountains of Ararat. The Almighty didn't give these dates for no reason at all. He didn't give these dates for us to just ignore. He didn't give these dates for us to just bypass. He didn't give these dates for us to just to minimize and marginalize as if they didn't mean nothing. No, every word of Elohim is pure. And he is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. And this is what you will be found, and this is what you are found when you don't trust in the word of Yah. And of course, it was 150 days, but the second month to the seventh month, it don't take a rocket scientist to know what that is. It's literally 5 months. Since it was 150 days, over the course of 5 months, that only can mean one thing and one thing only. And that is, there was 30 days in each month. And the reason why the Most High wanted us to see this, the reason why this was a record of ancestry for us and our people, and particularly us, and I'm going to prove that to you, is because Yah wanted us to know how many days in a month. Because we have laws that dictate that we know how many days in a month. And Noah is and was that first witness. But Yah has seven witnesses that we will bring before you. And I will talk about two of them now. I may add speaking about this Noah, he didn't just witness that, but when Noah walked into the ark, it was the second month, the 17th day of the month. But when he came out of the ark and he went in the 600th year, he came off the ark in the 601st year, the second month, on the 27th day of the month. That's when he came off. And how long is that? This was 12 months and 10 days. And if you've been listening to our program, you'll know what 12 months is, and you definitely will know what 10 represents. But if you have not, we will be bringing that to you. And of course, you'll read that in the book of Genesis, the 8th chapter, and read the 13th and 14th verse.
And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, was the earth dried.
Was the earth dried? And Elohim spake unto Noah and said, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife, thy sons' wives with thee. Because that's when he came off. Now, in our second witness, it shouldn't be surprising who the second witness of Yah is. And he's not going to witness anything different than what Noah witnessed, because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Most High. He was just. He was perfect. He walked with Elohim, and he was righteous. But this other man, the next witness, was Moshe himself, the man that the world knows as Moses. Now, who was Moses? Well, Moses is the man the Almighty will use as his servant, as his instrument to bring his name on the earth. Do you realize that before Moses, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, They didn't even know the Almighty by the name in which Moshe brought not only to the children of Israel, but to the world. They didn't even know. It wasn't even known to them. So not only Moses brought forth the name of the true and living creator, how important do you have to be to do such a thing like that? Surely Noah was important because Yah used him to restore life on the earth. But Moses brought the Almighty's name. No wonder he's the second witness, because that's what two represent. It represents Yah's name. Whether it's the second month, the second day, the second year, whether it's the second born, the second generation, whether it's the second commandment, it represents Yah's name. And if you've been listening to our programs, you'll know what I'm telling you is the truth. Not only is he the second witness, but the Almighty said this about this man. This is how great he was in the book of Malachi, the fourth chapter. In the book of Malachi, the fourth chapter, the fourth verse, it reads and says,
"Remember the law of Moses, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments."
It says, "Remember ye the law of Moshe, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all of Israel, with the statutes and the judgment." In other words, even though Yah is our lawgiver, he said, "Remember ye the law of Moshe," because Moshe was the man and the servant and the instrument that Yah will use to usher in his law, his statutes, as well as his judgment. The Almighty said there had never been a prophet like unto Moshe, whom Yah spoke to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. So this man was very great. And we're going to see what this man had to say about the various months to see if we're telling you the truth. But also we're going to talk about the third witness. Also, the second witness is Moshe. But the third witness is a man named Ahuron. Now, who is Ahuron? Which you know as Aaron. Well, this man was the high priest. He was the very first high priest of the children of Israel. And he was so important, the Almighty made a covenant with him that through his seed, this is who the priest will be, the sons of Aaron. And the only people that can come near unto Yah in the holies of holies are the sons of Aaron, nobody else. And all the holy articles of the Most High, only the sons of Aaron can bear these things, such as the ephod, the breastplate, the terebinth. This is how important Aaron was. And he's our third witness. The Almighty, since we're in a book of Malachi, look what the Almighty said about Aaron. And we're going to show you what he had to witness concerning the very thing that we are discussing. And I can assure you, even before we even get into it, that it will not be contrary to what his righteous servant Noah had already witnessed. And watch this about Aaron, who is and was the high priest. In the book of Malachi, in the second chapter of Malachi, and watch what it says, and we're going to start reading at the fourth verse.
And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith Yahweh of hosts.
And that's who Aaron was. He was a seed of Levi, and so was Moses. But even though Moses was a seed of Levi, the priesthood still went to the sons of Aaron and not the sons of Moses. And watch what it says.
My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge.
That's how you know he's not just talking about any Levite, but he's talking about the priest Levites, or the Levite, the priest. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge.
And they should seek the law of Yahweh at his mouth.
And they shall seek the law at his mouth.
For he is the messenger of Yahweh of hosts.
He is the messenger of Yahweh of hosts. In other words, if we want to know the law, that's who we go to. We go to the priest. We go to Levi. We go to the sons of Aaron. And let's see what the sons of Aaron, the priest, had to say about the law concerning a month. And let's see what the greatest prophet that ever lived had to say concerning a month. Is it what are people teaching today, that a month is a moon and a moon is a month? No. This is not the truth. The only reason our people are teaching this is because they got this from our enemies. This is not what our people in the scriptures taught. And I'm about to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that a month is not a moon, and a moon is not a month. And this was a terrible trick played on our people. And now our people today is running after a moon, in which Yah never commanded that at all. As I let you know yesterday, the word moon in the scriptures come from one Hebrew word in the scriptures. The Hebrew word is Urayach. It's not two or three or different words that the word moon come from. It's one. It is Urayach. The word month come from two Hebrew words. One is Kodesh. The other one is Urach. And you will see both words used. Now, one is used a little different than the other one, but both means month. But Urayach, all through the scriptures, only mean moon. It never translates into month, ever. You'll never see the word urea translate into month. And the only time you'll see Kodesh translated that way is when our enemies is trying to trick you. And let us deal with this word, Urayak. Since the moon is so important to our people, and they believe this is the instrument, this is the light that Yah will have us to use for us to number our days, because this is what they do. They look at the moon and then they start counting days. And this is not the instrument that Yah will use for us to count our days at all. Nor is it the instrument that Yah would use for us use as following our laws. You look up this word moon, which comes from the Hebrew word Urayak. I counted how many times you will see this word in the book of the law. And let me tell you how many times you will see the word Urayak or the word moon in the book of the law. In other words, from Genesis to Deuteronomy, you only see this word three times. And I'm going to show you all three times. Three times. Now, for something to be that important outside of Genesis, the first chapter, you're only going to see it three times in the book of the law? Three times? And I'm going to show you how it was used. But with the word Kodesh was used all over the scriptures, in the book of Genesis by itself, it was used 12 times. And that's not irony. Because the word Kodesh means month. And we're going to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt, it's only 12 months. So that makes sense to me. It was used 12 times. And 11 of the times, it was used, dates was attached to it. But I'm going to show you the 12th time and what was said about it. Well, first, let me show you Urayak. The first time, well, let's go to the book of Genesis, the first chapter, just so you can see the purpose of the moon, the purpose of the sun, and the purpose of the stars. Now, once you read this, this should be enough. But since it's not, we're just going to break it down so you can see how Moses is the second witness and how Aaron is the third witness, witnessing the very thing that we witnessing to you today to let you know that we're telling you the truth. In the book of Genesis, the first chapter, and what are we discussing? We're discussing Yah's seven witnesses. And you're going to see why Moses was the second, and you're going to see why Aaron was the third. In the book of Genesis, the first chapter, starting at the 14th verse,
and Elohim said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years."
So the very first thing he put these lights in the heaven to do is to divide the day from the night. Then he said, let them be for signs, and they are. Let them be for seasons, and they are. Days and years, and they are. If you understand all the scriptures pertaining to them, then we're going to try to make the crooked thing straight tonight or this evening or today. 15th verse.
and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And Elohim made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day.
So the greater light, which we know as the sun, will rule the day.
And the lesser light to rule the night.
And the lesser light that we know of as the moon is to rule the night.
And he made the stars also.
And he made the stars also.
And Elohim set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And Elohim saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day.
It was the fourth day, because this is when the lights of heaven was born. This is when they were born. And we already been telling you, to everything, there's a season. And a time to every purpose under heaven. And the very first thing it says, it's a time to be born and a time to die. And so you always want to mark this birth, but you also want to mark this death. And the sun and moon, even though we can't mark their death, but we can mark their birth. And why? Because Yah gave us a day, a time in which they were born. And they were born on the fourth day. So now we can count. And I may add, the word month, all the month is, as I stated before, it's not a moon, it's not a sun, it's not a star. It's not a light period. All a month is a collection, a measurement, a collection of a certain number of days. And these days is 30. And once you have 30, then you have a month. We proved it with Noah. Now we're going to prove it with Moses and Aaron. As I stated before, it was mentioned 12 times in the book of Genesis, the word Kodesh, which means month. And the very last time it was mentioned is in the book of Genesis, the 29th chapter. And watch what it says. Again, just in the book of Genesis, this word month was mentioned 20 or 12 different times. In the book of Genesis 29, and I want you to read the 13th and the 14th verse, and watch what it says.
Say the verse again.
Genesis 29, verse 13 and 14.
And it came to pass, when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him, and embraced him, and kissed him, and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, surely thou art my bone and my flesh. And he abode with him the space of a month.
And he abode with him, he stayed with him the space of a month. Now, if you go by the heathens, you don't know if there's 28 days, 29 days, 30 days, or 31 days. You don't know what a month is. It depends on the month that you get to. And those who follow the Jewish people, you don't know to the night before. You don't know if it's going to be a 30-day month, a 29-day month, or what type of month. But here, he abode with him a space of a month. And it was easy for them to say that because they knew what a month was. Now, what do the word space mean? Well, when you look up this word space, all the word space means is days. So really what this is saying, and he bore with him days of a month. This word space comes from the Hebrew word yom, which just means days. And how many days was that? Well, Noah had already let us know it was 30. And Moses and Aaron is not going to say anything different. And I'm going to show you that. But not so with the word Urayach. Even though Kodesh was mentioned 12 times in the book of Genesis, the word Urayach was only mentioned 3 times from the book of Genesis all the way through Deuteronomy. And let me show you when and how it was mentioned. The first time it was mentioned is in the book of Genesis, the 37th chapter. Turn there. Now we're talking about the word Urayach. Now, mind you, the Creator said that these lights was put into heaven to divide the day from the night. So what do you think the sun did? Well, it ruled the day, so it divided the day from the night. And since the moon and the stars ruled the night, those lights divided the night from the day. So every day and every night, they doing their job. Even though you might not see the moon every night, the stars are still there to divide that night from the day. And I'm going to show you what I'm telling you is the truth. But you don't take and snatch the lights of the night and make them for the day. This is what our people have begun to learn to do. In the book of Genesis 37, the 9th verse, look what it says. And this is talking about our father, Yosef.
And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more.
In other words, he dreamed a dream more. And of course, most of your dreams come when? They come at night. So watch what he dreamed.
And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me.
He said the sun and the moon and 11 stars, they made, in other words, they bowed to me. They prostrated themselves to me. They lowered themselves to me, the sun, moon, and stars. And watch what it says.
And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying.
And his father observed the saying. And of course, most of that was true because Yosef's mother passed, so she didn't have an opportunity to do it. But everybody else bowed themselves down to Joseph as he had dreamed. And the instrument the Almighty used to show him that everybody was going to bow to him was the sun, moon, and stars. And why did Yah use the sun and moon and stars? Because Yah wanted you to know you don't bow to it. You don't bow to no sun, moon, and stars. If anything, they're going to bow to you. And we got it backwards. We're chasing the moon. And this is a total abomination to the Most High. Watch what the Creator said. That's the first time the word Urayach, the word moon, was even mentioned. And watch what it says in the book of Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter. As I stated before, Kodesh was mentioned 12 times just in the book of Genesis by itself. Now we're at the last book of the law, according to most people, Deuteronomy. And this is just the second time the word Urayah is even mentioned. In the book of Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter, starting at the 14th verse, look what it says.
And Yahweh commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that ye might do them in the land whither you go over to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that Yahweh spake unto you in Horeb, out of the midst of the fire.
You saw no manner of similitude. So don't, no, you didn't see the moon, you didn't see the sun, you didn't see the stars, you didn't see no manners, you didn't see a bird flying past, you didn't see any of these things. Go ahead.
Lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of any thing that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is within the waters beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon, and the stars, even all the hosts of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and to serve them, which Yahweh thy Elohim hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven.
In other words, the Almighty, he didn't want us to have no worship of these things whatsoever. And he let you know that the sun, moon, and stars, and all the hosts of heaven, he said, he didn't want us to worship them or serve them, because this is what he divided. This is what he separated unto all nations under the whole heaven. In other words, this is what they were to go by. This is what they, it was really made for them. And little do people know that the Creator, what he divided to us and what he gave to us was different than what he gave to them. And let me tell you what he gave to us. He gave us months. And he gave us the order of the months. This is why most of the ancient world, all they was going by is moon and sun. They weren't even going by the months. Everything was predicated on the moon, the sun, and the stars, but not so with Israel. Israel had months that they went by. And there's a difference between a month and the moon and the sun and a star. There's a difference. And we're going to show you the difference. The third time this word, Urayah, is mentioned in what you know of as the Torah, or from Genesis to Deuteronomy, is in the 17th chapter of Deuteronomy. Now, for something to be this important, that our people, this is how they determine their holy days, this is how they determine their years, this is how they determine their months, this is how they determine the days of the month. But yet, this word, Urayah, this word moon, is only mentioned three times from Genesis to Malachi. Look what it says in the book of Deuteronomy, the 17th chapter, and start reading at the very first verse.
Thou shalt not sacrifice unto Yahweh thy Elohim any bullock or sheep wherein there is a blemish, or of any evil favoriteness, for that is of abomination unto Yahweh the Elohim. If there be found among you within any of thy gates, which Yahweh the Elohim giveth thee, man or woman, that hath wrought wickedness in the sight of Yah thy Elohim, in transgressing his covenant, and hath gone and served other deities, and worshipped them, either the sun, or moon, or any of the host of heaven, which I have not commanded, and it be told thee, and thou hast heard of it, and inquired diligently, and behold, it be true, and the thing certain, that such abomination is wrought in Israel, then shalt thou bring forth that man or that woman, which have committed that wicked thing, unto thy gates, even that man or that woman, and shall stone them with stones till they die.
So in other words, every time the Almighty talked about this sun and moon, other than Genesis, the first chapter, where he said it's to separate the day from the night, it's to provide, it's to rule over the day and over the night, and it's to provide light upon the earth, and it shall be for signs, seasons, days, and years. Outside of that, this word, Urayach, is only mentioned three times. From Genesis all the way through Deuteronomy. And I'm going to show you why. Because it was nothing that the Almighty gave to you for you to follow after for your days. Look what the Creator said about the moon after Deuteronomy. The first place I want you to go to is the book of Psalm 136. And then we're going to show you what Moses and Aaron witnessed. But I have to show you these things first so you can understand what these things mean. In the book of Psalms 136, and start at the seventh verse.
To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever.
You know what the great lights are. Go ahead.
The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever.
And that's what you should be saying. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever.
The moon and the stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever.
For the moon and the stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. If this is not enough to tell you that you don't take the moon and the stars and start making them for days. For the moon and the stars, they rule by night. They was made for the night season. They were to provide light at night. They can't even provide light in the day. Even though you will see the moon and the star in a day, it's like having your flashlight on in a day. You don't see nothing, no light. You see that it's there, but you don't see no light. And why? Because it's not made for the day. So how can you take the moon and start counting days, and it wasn't even made for that? Furthermore, in the book of Psalms 121, now, are you willing to say the moon and the stars to rule by night, for his mercy endure to forever, or are you going to continue to say the moon and the stars to rule by day? His mercy endure forever. No, you can't say that, because that's not even in the book. Watch what it says in Psalm 121. This is a short song. Read the whole song. Go ahead.
I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from Yahweh, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall not slumber nor sleep.
That's how you know we're not to believe in JC. And we all are witnesses of that. Anybody who believes in this Christ of the New Testament, who slumbered and slept, but the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein, he has never slumbered or slept. Furthermore, go ahead.
Yahweh is thy keeper. Yahweh is thy shade upon thy right hand.
Watch this. He is thy shade upon thy right hand.
The sun shall not smite thee by day.
If the sun is not going to smite you by day, because it rules the day. It is the light by day. It is the sun by day. It is for the season of the day.
Nor the moon by night.
Nor the moon by night. You don't have to worry about it smiting you in the day, because it wasn't for the day anyway. And it's not going to do that anyway. But it might try to smite you by night, but don't worry, it won't, because Yah said,
Yahweh shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Yahweh shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and forevermore.
So you don't have to worry about the moon smiting you by night. So why are you counting days of a moon when it wasn't even made for that? And I'm going to show you why you're doing it. And this is why we're sent to make the crooked things straight. Because I want you to see why you're doing it. And it is my hope, it is my prayer that you trust in Yah. Watch what it says in the book of Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. In the book of Jeremiah 31, the 35th verse, what do it say?
Thus saith Yahweh,
thus is Yah,
which giveth the sun for light by day.
How many times the Almighty had to tell you he gave you the sun for a light by day? Go ahead.
In the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for light by night.
And the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night.
Which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. Yahweh of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from me, saith Yahweh, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation from before me forever.
Forever. In other words, you can forget Israel. And these ordinances have departed from our people. That's why they can say, well, let me count. That's why it says 29 and 30 days in the moon. Well, first of all, we shouldn't be counting days of a moon anyway. That's number one. Number two, they'll tell you that a day start at night when the Almighty said he called the day light. See how these ordinances depart? The scripture says this month shall be the beginning of months. And then the beginning of the months, they think it's talking about a moon, in which comes out in the evening closer and toward the night. Not in the day, in the morning times. Matter of fact, all days start in the morning. But the very moon that they're looking at start and come in the morning, it's always in the evening toward the night. And then you see it at night. Now, how can that be the beginning while at the same time the very next day is the beginning? Those are two different times altogether. Either the evening is the beginning or the morning is the beginning. But both can't be the beginning. See the confusion? You can't say, well, the morning is the beginning of a day, but then some go on in the evening before the morning, and then you'll say that's the beginning of your month. No, this is a contradiction. Now, let me just show you the witnesses who let us know exactly what a month is. And then I'll show you why our people have been bamboozled, have been tricked, been lied to. Let me show you how that happened. But first, let me just show you these witnesses. First of all, in the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter, turn there. Because I showed you what the moon is for and how many times it was mentioned from Genesis to Deuteronomy and told you what it's for. In other words, I really just read to you what it's for because the Almighty told you what it's for. He's the creator. It ain't my words, it's his words. In the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter, the first two verses, watch what it says.
And Yahweh spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year unto you.
Yeah, he said, this month shall be the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. And why is this? And what is this month that shall be the beginning of months? First of all, it'll let you know that that's because there's going to be several other months that come behind it. So there has to be a beginning. And what is this beginning of the month? And people tell you, well, it's this light called a crescent. How is that the beginning of months? And that happened at night. That happened when the day is ending, not when the day is beginning. So how can that be the beginning of a month? Well, the beginning of all months is when the light, when the lights was born, when the Almighty made the sun, moon, and stars. And when did he make that? On the fourth day. And as I showed you in the book of Genesis, the 29th chapter, all the month is a collection of days. That's why in Genesis 29 it said, Yom of Kadesh, mean days of the month. And how many is that? As we read with Noah, it was 30. And when did that month begin? Well, it began on the fourth day when the Almighty made the light. And I'm going to prove that to you. But just to show you, once again, what a month is, first let's go to the book of Numbers 20. Deuteronomy 34 verse first. Let me go there first since we're talking about Moses. And the reason why Moses is the second witness is because when the Almighty first gave us the law that this shall be the beginning of months, who do you think he said that to? Well, he said that to Moses. Because Moses was the lawgiver. Or the lawgiver that Yah would use as his instrument. And he said, this month shall be the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year unto you, which let you know Yah did not give these months to everybody else. He gave it to us. He gave it to us in the order in which it's supposed to happen. This was not given to everybody else. Everybody else just go by the sun, moon, and stars. But Israel went by the months. But the months occurred and happened and was predicated on the birth of the sun, moon, and stars. Without them, there are no months. This is where they began. And just like anything that is born, whether it's a child, you mark the day in which it was born, and then you start counting. If it's an animal, you mark the day in which it was born, and then you begin to count. I don't care if it's the first fruits, they first. And then those first fruits belong to who? To the Most High. Because to everything, there's a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. So now we can see, well, the sun, moon, and stars, look how many days, look how old in which they are. Because we know what day in which they came. We know what year in which they came. And so now we can count. We'll let you know the heathens, they lie about everything. There's nothing they told you the truth about. Nothing. In the book of Deuteronomy 34, still witnessing the fact that what is a month and how many days in a month. In the book of Deuteronomy 34, watch what it says. Starting at the fifth verse.
So Moses, the servant of Yahweh, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of Yahweh. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulture unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended.
Yeah, the days of weeping and mourning was ended. And why did they mourn him in the plains of Moab for 30 days? Because according to the law, we are to mourn a full month. This was the law. Now, some people come and tell you, well, no, you don't have to mourn. Nobody knows, no 30 days. You can do it anytime. Jacob was mourning 40 days. Come on now. We're talking about during the time of Moses, because Moses was the lawgiver. We're not talking about any time before Moses. And I'm going to show you that this is the law. Furthermore, not just Moses, who is the lawgiver. Surely the lawgiver knows what a month is and what 30 represents. Go to the book of Numbers, the 20th chapter. Why is this relevant? Well, relevant is because there's a controversy with our people, and they don't know time because they had allowed themselves to learn the ways of the heathens. And the Almighty told us, learn not the ways of the heathens, for the heathens are dismayed at the signs of heaven. In the book of Numbers, the 20th chapter, this is what it says in the 28th verse.
And Moses stripped Aaron of his garments.
Well, start at the 23rd verse so everybody can see what's happening.
And Yahweh spake unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor, by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, but he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because you rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar, his son, and bring them up unto Mount Hor, and strip Aaron of his garments, and put them on Eleazar, his son. And Aaron should be gathered unto his people, and shall die there. And Moses did as Yahweh commanded him, and they went up into the Mount Hor, in the sight of all the congregation. And Moses stripped Aaron of his garments, and put them on upon Eleazar, his son. And Aaron died there in the top of the mount. And Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount. And when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned for Aaron 30 days, even all the house of Israel.
So why did they mourn for Moses 30 days? Why did they mourn for Aaron 30 days? Was this just some custom that they inherited from our enemies or from other nations or other people? Well, they didn't inherit it from the Egyptians, because the Egyptians didn't mourn it there for 30 days. As a matter of fact, I never read any other nation mourning their dead for 30 days. So I don't know how we could have got it from other people when I never read things in other cultures or in the scriptures, period, other than with the house of Israel. In our laws. So this was no custom. And to prove it was no custom, go to the book of Deuteronomy, the 21st chapter. Didn't I tell you Moses was the second witness and Aaron was the third witness? Because both, one was the greatest prophet, one was the high priest. And both had to teach what a month was. And they did. And watch what it says in Deuteronomy 21. And start reading at the 10th verse.
When thou goest forth to war against thine enemies, and Yahweh thy Elohim have delivered them into thine hands, and thou hast taken them captive, and seest among the captives a beautiful woman, and hast a desire unto her, that thou wouldest have her to thy wife. Then thou shalt bring her home to thine house, and she shall shave her head and pare her nails, and she shall put the remnant of her captivity from off her, and shall remain in thine house, and bewail her father and her mother a full month.
You know what? It said a full month. This Hebrew word, full month, comes from the Hebrew word yirah, which means month of days. That's what this means, a month of days. Just like in Genesis, the 29th chapter, it said a month of days. And this is exactly, in other words, you're going to see the word yom precede the word yirah. And just like you will see the word yom precede the word Kodesh in Genesis 29, because this is a month of days. You will never see the word moon with days. Never, ever. Or the word Uriach. Now, you might see it in English, and this is where they tried to deceive you. And I'm going to show you this. But continue reading.
And after that, thou shalt go in unto her and be her husband, and she shall be thy wife.
And so here in that 13th verse, it says, and she shall put the raiment of her captivity from off her, and shall remain in thy house and bewail. And what do the word bewail mean? It means to mourn her father and her mother a full month. In other words, in the other scriptures, with Moses and Aaron, It just said they mourned him 30 days. But here it says a full month, because a full month is 30 days. And 30 days is a full month, because all a month is a certain number of collection of days, which is 30. Did not you learn that with Noah? Are not you learning that with Moses? Are not you learning that with Aaron? And let me tell you what you're not going to see in the scriptures. Let me show you what you're not going to learn in the scriptures. You're never, ever going to see a month of 29 days. You're never, ever going to see a month of 31 days. You're never going to see a full month of 28 days. Although all these things are written in your enemy's calendars. But not so with Yah. The only measurement that Yah allowed to be given in the scriptures for a month is 30. And the only time you will see 29 is from the eyes and from the measurements of man. And this is why Yah did this in the book of Numbers, the 15th chapter. Turn there. In the book of Numbers, the 15th chapter, so you can understand why Yahweh told us to do this, the 37th verse.
And Yahweh spake unto Moshe, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put them upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue, and it shall be unto you a fore fringe, that ye may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of Yahweh, and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to go a whoring.
And that's what we're doing today. We're going a whoring, seeking after our own eyes. This is what I see. I counted this for myself. Look what I see. And after our own heart. In other words, we would rather go by what our eyes see and what our hearts say rather than what the word of Yah is saying. If Yah didn't say it, why are you saying it? Regardless of what you see, we're supposed to be serving Yah. Furthermore, in the 40th verse, it says what?
That ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto Yahweh your Elohim.
Yeah, this is how we be holy. We don't be like the other nations. Yahweh divided that to them to be looking at the sun, moon, and stars and running after them and counting them. That's not what we are to do. We don't go a-whoring after our own eyes and after our own heart. We trust in Yah. He gave us his words. And that's what we are to go by. And let me just show you some of the lies that our people have inherited. Let me show you this. For instance, in the book of 1 Samuel, the 20th chapter. Turn there. And right before we read 1 Samuel 20, watch this. In 1 Samuel, the 19th chapter. Because this is something that happened to David that I want you to see. Right before we show you 1 Samuel 20. Read the 9th through the 11th verse and watch what it says.
And the evil spirit from Yahweh was upon Saul, and he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night.
See, David escaped that night. Watch what it says.
Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told them him, saying, If thou save not thy life tonight,
if you don't save your life tonight,
tomorrow thou shalt be slain.
Tomorrow, and the word tomorrow, all through the scriptures, means the next day. It's the next day. If you don't save your soul tonight, tomorrow you'll be slain. And of course, that's exactly what David did. He left that night. Then we get to 1 Samuel, the 20th chapter, and watch what it says in the 4th and 5th verse.
Then said Jonathan unto David, whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee. And David said unto Jonathan, behold, tomorrow is the new moon.
Look at here. This is just a trick of your enemies. They're trying to bamboozle you. You notice in the 19th chapter, it says if you don't save your life tonight, tomorrow you're going to be... Because every time you see the word tomorrow or morrow in the scripture, it's always talking about the next day. So when David said tomorrow is the new moon, he wasn't talking about no moon. He was just talking about the next day. So when he said tomorrow, you already know he wasn't talking about that night or the next night. Tomorrow is the new month. And your enemies just tried to bamboozle you and trick you to make you think this was a new moon, but really it was just a new month. This Hebrew word here is Kodesh, not Urayach, which is the Hebrew word for moon. Kodesh. And every time, and I want you to don't believe me, just look up the word morrow in your scriptures. And it's always going to say the next day. In other words, it's not talking about the night ever. Just the next day. So David wasn't pointing up to the sky. Tomorrow is the new moon. Like some people would teach you. No. Tomorrow is the new month. Let me show you another trick of your enemies. In the book of Psalm 81. These are all tricks. They know that word has nothing to do with the moon at all. They know that. They only want you to believe that because they are a night people. They're not, they are dark people. They're not the light people. The scripture says he sown light for the righteous. So they want to keep you in the dark. They don't want you to come into the light. Psalms 81. And even if you believe that was the new moon, how could you believe that the new moon is, and at the beginning of your month occurring in the evening and at night when your days start in the morning? So how can your moon start in the night before the morning of the next day? That's a total contradiction. In other words, your month start in one month, in the old month, and then the morning starts in a whole nother month. I don't know. My goodness. Psalms 81.
Verse 3.
At verse 3, watch what it says.
Blow up the trumpet in the new moon.
See, this is what they want you to believe. Blow the trumpet up in the new moon. In other words, when you see that new moon, when you see that crescent light, blow up the trumpet. Our people didn't blow no trumpet at night. They didn't do that. They blew the trumpet in the new month. They blew the trumpet in the morning, not at night. This is all a trick. To show you this, go to the book of Numbers, the 10th chapter, that our people didn't blow no trumpet at night. Unless they was in war, then they blew it at night. Book of Numbers, the 10th chapter. These are all tricks. And I may add, the Hebrew word for that new moon in Psalms 81 is not Yireach, which is the Hebrew word for moon. That Hebrew word is Kodesh, which means month. In the book of Numbers, the 10th, this is what it says in the 10th verse.
Also in the day of your gladness.
In the day, and look, you know, it starts all saying day. It is not even talking about the night, period. In the day of your gladness.
And in your solemn days.
And your solemn days, not your nights.
And in the beginning of your month.
And your months don't begin at night. Nor do they begin in the evening. So why would you blow the horn at night and in the evening when your months begin the same time the day began, which is in the morning?
You shall blow with the trumpet burnt offering.
And the very first burnt offering is in the morning. The second burnt offering is in the evening.
And over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your Elohim. I am Yahweh your Elohim.
This is not hard. This is not rocket science. And let me just show you another place where your enemies will try to trick you. In the book of Ezekiel, the 46th chapter. Another place they will have you to believe. In other words, if they did what was right and just translated all the way through this word as month, you wouldn't even be following no moon. But since you see the word new moon, you start following it. Because that's what they go by. Kodesh means the same thing all through the scriptures. Most of the places, they do translate it month. But then there are certain select places they will put new moon. But all the other places where it say month, you ignore. But then a few places that say new moon, those are places you run to. Don't you see why Yah said the crooked things have to be made straight? Why the darkness has to be made light? In the book of Ezekiel 46, and watch what it says in the very first verse.
Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, the gate of the inner court that looketh toward the east shall be shut the 6 working days.
Now, the 6 working days, I want you to look at this real close. The 6 working days, it's going to be shut. So you already know if it's shut the 6 working days, they're not going to start opening it at night because it's shut the 6 working days. If anything, it's going to be opened during the 6 working days, but it's shut.
But on the Sabbath it shall be opened.
But on the Sabbath it shall be opened.
And in the day of the new moon.
In the day of the new moon it shall be opened. So they got you thinking that this new moon, soon as you see this crescent light, it's going to be open. Well, no, it's not. Because that crescent light, which you see as the new moon, don't come until the evening. And I'm going to show you what's going to happen in the evening. And then you got some people say, well, no, it's not going to be open then. It's going to be open the following day. Well, I thought the new moon was that night. Not that day. Well, that's just a sign to let you know that it's going to be open that day. Well, why would it be a sign to let you know that it was going to be open the next day when the moon is not a sign by day, period? It's a sign for the night, for it rules the night. It is a light by night, and it separates the night from the day. Brothers and sisters, you got your signs all mixed up. But watch when this supposed to be open. And I may add, you see when it's supposed to be open, but watch what Yahweh say is supposed to be closed.
Verse 2.
And I may add that this Hebrew word for new moon is not Urayach, which means moon. It's Kodesh. And watch what it says.
Verse 2. And the prince shall enter by the way of the porch of that gate without, and shall stand by the post of the gate, and the priest shall prepare his burnt offering and his peace offerings, and he shall worship at the threshold of the gate. Then he shall go forth.
Then he shall go forth.
But the gate shall not be shut until the evening.
The gate is not going to be shut until the evening. In other words, it's never open that evening. So it wasn't open when you seen the crescent light. It wasn't open in the evening when people say the Sabbath starts, because the only time you deal with this gate in the evening is to shut it. You never deal with this gate to open it. So it wasn't open at the beginning of the new moon, in what you call the new moon, nor was it open at the beginning of the Sabbath. And this whole scripture talk about the gate being open on the Sabbath and on the new moon. You can't have it both ways. It's shut in the evening. So when that crescent come out, this gate gone. It's shut. It's closed. It's locked. And when you say the Sabbath is beginning in the evening, it's locked. But when the Sabbath began and truly began, it is open in the morning and it's shut in the season, evening. And when the new month actually begins, it's open in the morning and it's shut in the evening. As I stated before, the crooked things will be made shut, made straight. Moses and Aaron both declared 30 days in a month. It's in the law. It's in the book of the law. Noah also declared and showed 30 days in a month. And we done all went through Genesis all the way through Deuteronomy. And there was none that ever declared a 29-day month, period. A 31-day month, period. A 28-day month, period. It wasn't mentioned, it wasn't showed, it wasn't said, nor was it declared. The scriptures say, believe in Yah, and ye shall be established. Believe in his prophets, and ye shall prosper. These are your first three witnesses, Noah, Moses, and Aaron. We got four more witnesses to go. And they not only going to show you the very truths that I'm speaking to you today, but also how many months are in a year. Because we have people saying there's 13 months in a year. And we're going to show you that that's not in the book at all. And we got the witnesses to prove it. These are Yah's seven witnesses. And until tomorrow, Yah love you, and so do I. Shalom.
To you, my Yadu, I lift up my soul. And trust in you, he always kept me whole. And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed. Put shame on those who sin without a cause. Show me your ways, please teach me your laws. Oh Elohim, of my salvation. I'm staying down impatient as a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Leave me in your truth, and he'll give your soul ease. The earth shall remain inherited by your seed. The secret of Yahweh, who fears Elohim. Elohim, who believes everything, and to every word.